Kruger, this is the type of stuff. All right. This is kangaroo court. We said bring the microphone so it sounds better. If we were in a baseball clubhouse, Kruger, what would we do to you? What would the punishment be?
Well, I don't know. Inflation. I don't know what it would have been like back in the day. I mean, $50, you know, don't do it again, young guy, you know, wake up. You know, it's just the hazing of the clubhouse is always part of the culture, right?
Yeah.
And baseball has always maintained that. And I don't know if it's the same today. I mean, there was definitely a hierarchy when I was playing.
Right. You
know, the veterans and the young guys. The young guys didn't say too much. Veterans did all the talking. Young guys took punishment, whether it was fair or not. And you kind of learned through the hazing, right? That's the culture. That's the folk ways of the clubhouse.
Everybody talks about this. We'll get into the M's here in a second. Bill Kruger, Root Sports, brought to you by Rise Above Foundation. NativeYouthRiseAbove.org is the site. Bill's going to talk to you about the golf classic that is coming up. Every player that I talk to, ex-player, always says the same thing. Is that what you miss the most? The clubhouse, the bus rides, the planes, all that just kind of hanging out? I mean, obviously playing, but all the other stuff when you look back on your career.
Well, there's certainly an enormous amount of stories and experiences that you could never have ever gotten. I don't know that I hung my hat on life in the clubhouse or life in the bus. Back, especially in the early bus rides when the media was on the bus, back when I was playing in Oakland, I don't know that I ever laughed that hard in my life. It was like, until the hazing came around to you I don't know that I ever laughed so hard in my life. We had some funny people in Oakland, but I think it's gotten a lot more buttoned up than maybe when we played. The minor leagues were not. Minor leagues was a place where we were all, I think the minor leagues, I think, speaks loudly to what you're talking about. Everybody's kind of in the same place. Nobody's making any money. We're all scrapping away. And, you know, there's always something that's falling short. The bus breaks down. You know, there's something going wrong with the schedule. The plane, we're sitting in Salt Lake for the rest of our lives, in AAA. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you went through over and over again. And just stories abound, right? Of just things that happen, miscast characters, people coming and going, funny things that happen around the game. The minor leagues was probably the best.
All right, tough series in Milwaukee. I mean, they found new ways to lose. You've got the Hancock, which is the latest start. Miller looked really good. I want to get into Bryce Miller and them taking him out of the game. Let's go to the Andrés Muñoz, though, situation. Just something we don't see from him. You know, we don't see that type of erratic pitching, but he walks in. You know, you want to lose a game like that. You'd rather lose on a walk-off home run, not walking in the batter after you walked the bases loaded. What happened with that performance and just kind of the general thoughts on what you saw in those three games against Milwaukee?
Well, they're still not playing well. You know, there's nothing really, really that you can point at. I mean, outside of Bryce Miller's performance, the rest was pretty uneven, right? When we could talk about specific instances about what's not happening. I mean, they're not hitting, but yet there are teams that are actually worse than them hitting-wise. but pitching-wise, they're in the bottom quartile in the league. We can point at some of the starting performances. We can point at Muñoz. Let's talk about Muñoz. I think what happened to Andrés is he had a long period of time between appearances, you know, and some of that's just the way baseball goes. You don't want to just use a guy when he's not in a safe situation or leverage situation, but he had a lot of days off before he pitched again, and he was just a fuzz off. I mean, he wasn't missing by much. He was at the bottom of the zone in my day. Those were strikes all day long. That goofy pitch that's up by the letters isn't a strike, but that's the one they want to call. But and then once it became kind of it kind of piled upon itself. You know, he was missing a little bit with his fastball. He tried to land his slider. He couldn't get there. He's not a guy that's got – he kind of fills the big zone up with strikes, with good stuff. He's not a guy that could hit spots. And it just piled up on him. The Brewers wouldn't swing the bat. I mean, I think still when I look at Brash and Muñoz, and I think they're elite talents, elite. And eventually these guys are going to be really buttoned down ninth inning closers. They're going to shuffle that deck around because that's the way the Mariners pitch. They use those guys in high leverage. But they're not quite as polished as you want a closer to be. Closers are guys that just don't walk people. That's what made Paul Sewald so valuable, was that he didn't have great, unbelievable stuff, but he didn't walk people. You can't walk people. That's the ninth inning. Three hits scores a run. Jamie Moyer could save 35 games. Okay? Let's not worry about
so don't hold on.
An unbeatable slider.
I'm going to use
he
this.
He got better this next time out. He's fine. I like the kid. I think he's got high aptitude. He's going to be a great pitcher.
I'm going to use this then in my next Little League practice, which is happening on Monday night. And the message is going to be this. Don't walk anyone.
Right.
No more walking. No.
Well, you know why? You know what kids have to do, Jason? They need to play catch away from the field. You got to put the video game down. You got to
go out and play catch. Yeah. You're right.
You know, if we didn't have someone to play catch with, we threw the rubber ball off the garage door. That was excitement for us.
I'm pretty sure we had to replace our garage door because I would throw, baseballs, but then I had to stop that, and then it was tennis balls all day long. That's all I did.
We were immensely entertained by that.
it's one of the little games. It's so much fun. All right. What did you think? Because they made an issue of it on the Munoz start or the appearance of the home plate umpire. Called up from AAA. They thought it was a little too tight. Did you think it was too tight?
Pretty tight. Yeah. Could have given them a pitch or two that were right on the edge. Those were great pitches down the strike zone. I really value that low strike, and he wasn't getting it. So I thought they squeezed him. Without a doubt, he comes with I come from a day where reputation precedes you. You know, if you're a young pitcher that had never been in the league and you're missing by a fuzz, you get the short end of the stick. If you've been around and you've thrown strikes, the umpires already have a preconceived notion of the type of pitcher you are. You're going to get the benefit of the doubt. Now, they're going to give the world to you. So, yes, I would say, did he get squeezed? Yes. Does he need to carve out a bigger part of the plate and get back into the count? Yes, he does.
Okay. Let's switch gears. Let's go to Bryce Miller. The decision, it didn't hurt them because they got the win, but there was a big debate when they pulled Bryce Miller, 78 pitches. He'd gone seven innings. He was the story of the weekend in that series against Milwaukee. Scott Servais gave about the longest answer I think I have ever read in my life about the decision to pull him out of the game. I know this is something near and dear to your heart. And I read it a couple different times, and I certainly – I mean, I'm on both sides of the fence here because I have one opinion of how I've grown up watching baseball, probably similar to yours. But then when he explained it, I also could see where he was coming from, especially with the news in the last week of the Spencer Strider going down. You know, you've got Shane Bieber going down. We have a number of, I think it's four pitchers now that are done, UCL tears and are done and having Tommy John surgery. Before we get to his performance, because he was great, the decision to pull him. What do you feel about that 78 pitches, seven innings? Do you like it? Would you like him to stay out there? Just thoughts about it.
Well, I think it was a little premature. 78 pitches, he was cruising. I think I sent him out for the eighth inning. I have the bullpen warming. And as soon as he gets into a little bit of a tougher spot, because you don't want to pitch him through stress, but you have to understand the way they script the game. Game is so highly scripted. There just isn't a lot of, I got a feeling, or this is the way it looks to me. You know, there's not, that part of the game is gone. Mm. This game is scripted from the beginning. They know who's coming in the sixth or the seventh inning, and they're gonna err on the side of caution, and they're gonna be rock solid sure that that's how the script is gonna go. Okay, that's why he's out of the game, because the script said. The eighth inning is Voth. The ninth inning is Munoz. Whatever the case may be.
So you're saying predetermined before the game even starts?
Yeah. That's the way baseball's played now.
Is that good for baseball?
Is that good for baseball?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But that's how we're going to play. We have numbers. Numbers come down to the dugout. Dugout manages the numbers, puts the players in place, and we play the game. Okay? Is there some thought? I mean, it depends how you look at it. 78 pitches or seven innings. It fits the narrative. You know what I mean? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If the narrative was pitches, then they would have used pitches against him. If the narrative was they'd use innings instead. Well, he pitched seven innings. That's a lot early in the season.
Is there
seven
anything?
A lot.
Yeah. Is there anything to him in just looking at, you got a young arm, you need him for the whole year. This is his second year in the big leagues, of trying to protect him? Because, you know, Dr. James Andrews talked about it this past weekend. I mean, he's seen the uptick in arm surgeries, not at the major league level, but at the youth level, high school and even younger, of guys, because this mantra of throw harder, throw harder, throw harder, throw harder. Do you get, though, where they're maybe coming from of wanting to protect him a little bit for the entire season?
To a degree, but at 78 pitches, we're not even having that conversation, are we?
Okay.
We're not. So I don't think it's a James Andrews a cautionary tale. The cautionary tale has a lot to do with how we're training and how we're playing. Kids are playing too many games. Pitchers are pitching too many innings as they're growing up through the game. Once we get through the funnel and get to the big leagues, it's time. You're playing for keeps now, right? We're playing the game to win every day. Now, we're going to measure. We're going to have measures. We have a lot more measures today than we did 30 years ago, right? And it's just not the survival of the fittest. It's going to be, we're going to try to, especially younger pitchers, we're going to try to err a little bit on the side of caution for the total load, okay? Yeah. I can tell you the two or three times I got hurt were all because of overpitching in winter ball and not taking any rest in the winter. And those years after I pitched in winter ball, at least twice, I had injuries because I didn't have the rest. Okay. So as I look at my career, I think so with young pitchers, it's starting at younger ages. You know, we just didn't pitch that much, but we played a ton of catch and we used our arm. You know, I always joke about the 12-month throwing program. Baseballs, footballs, acorn, snowball, ice ball, dirt clod, back to baseball. But we're not on the mound. We're not going downhill.
Acorn.
I grew up in the Midwest. You know, you build arm strength by throwing, but you don't need to pitch as much, right?
Yeah, we do a lot of that at the youth level. I have the kids throw the football all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just building arm strength by I tell kids that you want to have a big battery. Every time you play catch, you feed your battery. The guys that pitched the longest, the Ryans, the Johnsons, the Moyers, on and on. Those guys pitched, they threw a lot when they were kids.
I want to bring this up because you brought something up at the youth level. They're throwing more and more frequently, leading to these probably arm injuries later in their career. I'm not going to name the kid, but I witnessed a high school game this past weekend where this kid's a stud pitcher. One of the top kids in the state. And he was touching 92 on the gun. It was good stuff. He threw over 100 pitches in a non-league game. I think it was like 105 pitches. And I thought, God, that's a lot at the high school level. And especially in a game that's not, it's just like a friendly game. And then after they pulled him, the coach put him in at shortstop. And I thought, I don't know. When I coach that, if a kid pitches, I put him at a position where he's not going to really have to throw that much. I try to.
Yeah.
I kind of didn't understand the decision. He's thrown 105 pitches at 92, great curveball, and then now you're putting him at shortstop. What do you when you hear something like that? Is that too many pitches? How does that sit with you?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with what he done to build up to throw 105 pitches. How much time is he going to get before he pitches again? I mean, it has to do with a longer stretch of time than just one moment. And when you're young and you're free, if he's got great mechanics, you know, the great mechanics, the great athlete, you know, he could probably survive because you're trying to find the answer that sort of suits all types of pitchers, younger, older, younger, bigger, stronger, more mature, less mature. You know, back in the day, we just played baseball, you know, but we just there wasn't enough opportunities to abuse us, right? So it sounds to me like you're right. 105 seems a lot. Yeah. I mean, if you have the choice, maybe you manage it a little bit more than that because, you know, the problem with youth baseball, I can tell you right now, is that we don't teach kids how to pitch. We need more kids pitching. If I had youth game, I'd be a bit like a volleyball game. You'd be in right, then you're in center, then you're in left, then you're at third, then you're short, then you're at first, then second, you're pitching. You're going to play all the positions. Everybody's going to pitch. I'm going to teach pitching the first 15 minutes of practice every day, and we're going to get guys that can throw strikes, and more kids are going to have the opportunity to feel what it's like to pitch. And if you can throw strikes, pitching's fun. So I mean, I think you need more kids pitching. That's part of the answer, and we need to build arm strength by playing more catch.
I need you to come out. I mean, can you come out one practice to the Fisher Plumbing? Can we get you to Ballard for one practice to show the kids? To show the kids how to pitch one time. Can we do that for you?
Yeah, sure.
Can you do that for us? That'd be great. All right. The defense, you talked offensively. I mean, they are they're dead last in almost every statistical category that we can come up with.
Well,
and that's been a problem. Defensively, though, and we saw it on display this weekend and again. There was a play Rojas could have made in the first inning, doesn't make the play in the first inning. Then there's a hit by Jake Bowers where Luke Raley gets a bad jump on it, can't come up with it. That what was supposed to happen, these moves, they were supposed to get better offensively, which they haven't so far, but there's a pretty big drop defensively. And they live on the edge with these starting pitchers. And if they're not great and fine, they don't have much wiggle room. And so far, it's just been all around kind of sloppy, ugly baseball.
Yeah, I mean, really doesn't play every day. And, maybe he gets a better jump if he plays more. I don't think he's an average defender. I mean, Canzone is a weaker defender than Raley. So let's not try to compare what else could be out there. Rojas is the second baseman trying to play third. I mean, they punted third base. Urias is having throwing problems. They really don't want to play him there. They play him some, but he has throwing problems. He had throwing problems in spring training, and Rojas is trying to play third. He's not a third baseman. You had one of the best third basemen in the game, and you basically shuttled his contract away, right? So they don't have an answer third. So you're having problems there. Baseball gods look down and go, ha-ha-ha, don't cheat the game. We're going to have lots of balls hit to third. Yes, they got to play better defensively. Yeah. And I think they will. I haven't seen Polanco enough. He's been just so far, right? But up the middle of the field, they're pretty good. Raleigh's good. Crawford's good. Rodriguez is good. That's the strength of your defense, right? And, in all elements, they got to pitch better. And offensively, Jason, what they need to do, it's not the collective. What's hurting them right now is the top three guys in the lineup. Those guys aren't hitting. Polanco's not hitting, Rodriguez is not hitting, Crawford's not hitting. Those guys are not hitting, right? And so that kills you. You kind of want the rest of the lineup to kind of, you kind of mix in and do something. Haniger's been pretty good, but after that, you're looking for, cameo guys like Bohr and Rojas are hitting, and that's it, right? That's it. Will Garver hit? Yes, Garver will hit. Will Polanco hit? I hope so. I haven't liked what I've seen so far. Rodriguez is a tendency to start slow, so there you go. Crawford had a tremendous year last year. We just need him to get on base. They're asking Raleigh to be the left-handed slugger, so we'll see. They just have to be average offensively. Their pitching is supposed to carry them, right? And so far, it's been a little uneven. You know what's interesting about the game? And I haven't watched it like every day, every team. But what I'm seeing now, the left-hand hitter is back. The rover is gone. The shifts are not so pronounced anymore. So we're seeing a bevy of left-handed hitters more than we've ever seen. These guys haven't pitched through a lot of left-hand hitters. And it's hurt them. Castillo has given up two games. He's given up all of his hits to left-hand hitters. All of them. Right-handers are 0 for 14. Left-handers have 16 hits off them in two games. We're seeing 6, 7, 7, 6 left-hand hitters. Our right-hand pitching is going to have to learn how to pitch to left-hand hitters because it's in the game now. The rover's gone, and baseball knows left-hand hitting is a crucial part of the game.
Okay, lastly, what do you need to see from Castillo tonight? The first two outings have not been good for him. 16 hits. You just mentioned what his left-handers have done against him. What adjustments, what improvement? What would you like to see on the mound on Monday night from Luis Castillo?
He just needs to have, I think he'll be indoors in Toronto. It'll be warm. He's facing a team that's predominantly right-handed. The three big guns aren't hitting right now, Bichette and Springer and Guerrero. They're all hitting under 200. Those are the three guys that are really what makes their team go. And he's got a decided advantage against right-hand hitters. They don't have a lot of left-hand hitting. They've got a little bit of it sprinkled in, but nothing that really kills you. It's a good matchup for him. Maybe he gets an extra tick or two, and the fastball plays a little bit more at the top of the zone, and then everything else falls in place because his slider, changeup, they're okay. But what makes him great is that the ball explodes at the top of the zone, and that's what makes him tough. And I expect him to rebound and pitch well. He's been, if you think about him, he stubbed his toe twice here to start the season. But when you look at what he's done since he's joined here, very, very few stretches where he's had more than one game where he hasn't pitched well. I mean, the guy's been really good. He throws a ton of strikes. He's got a lot of confidence. He's tough to hit. So I expect him to bounce and be very good tonight.
There he is, Bill Krueger, Root Sports. It's all brought to you by the Rise Above Foundation. He's got the Rise Above Golf Classic coming up on Monday, June 24th at the Golf Club at Snoqualmie Ridge. If you're watching at PuckSports.com and YouTube, you see that wonderful vest. I need one of those vests. Log on to nativeyouthriseabove.org. What other information can you provide us, Bill, about the Golf Classic coming up on June 24th?
June 24th, Snoqualmie Ridge. Great, great golf course. We're still looking for players and foursomes to sign up. We'd love to have you come out and play. We'll have a bevy of local and national notable athletes that'll be there. You're going to be able to play golf and be around these guys and rub shoulders with them and see Lenny Wilkins and Danny Glover. And, of course, our organization, led by Jackie McCormick, trying to make life better for our Native youth kids that have suffered mightily with things like high suicide rates and a graduation rate that's just been poor for 100 years. And so we're trying to get them into a good place where we can start to build their confidence and build their education and get them healthy. So come out and help us.
Where would you want to direct people to go sign up if they can for the foursomes?
Well, we're going to have to provide something that gets you to the registration, which is a link, but you can go to Native Youth Rise Above. .org, okay. And you can get to the golf tournament from there.
Perfect.
And we'd love to have you come out.
That's easy peasy. You're the best. Okay. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Bill.
Okay. Bye.
There he is. Bill Krueger, Root Sports, as always. We'll talk to you soon. And we promise to be better.
Shirt, no shoes, no dice.
Anybody like to smoke some pot?
Yeah.
I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you, but you were born to rub me first.
What do you need my address for?
We'd like to send out a mailer.
Mother of mercy, I don't speak Japanese!